Dear listeners, 6 years ago, my brother and I decided to create a newsletter for our home called the E27 Times. That newsletter turned into a monthly gazette called the Happy Herald. The Happy Herald turned into Spirit, a monthly magazine which we continue to publish. It is our privilege to share our writing and spirit with you. My name is Janu, and I am 15 years old and a sophomore in high school. My passion is science, especially biology, but I also love the humanities. Writing and art have always been outlets for me. I am the editor-in-chief and co-founder of Spirit.
My name is Naveen, and I am 14 years old. I am a freshman in high school. My favorite subjects are life science and math. In my spare time, I play ice hockey, tennis, and run cross country. I am the cartoonist, chief technical director, and co-founder of Spirit.
Dear listeners, Spirit August 2020. Dear listeners, can someone give me a satisfactory answer to why the dog days of August are a thing? Why do they call it dog days? Does it have to do with every dog having his day, or is it an ecological thing, or an idiom? I could Google it, but I haven't, so if you know what the dog days of August mean, tell me. On another note, happy August. Now that the academic year is just around the corner, I think it's time to make the annual September bucket list. I find that a bucket list helps me sort of visualize my yearly goals better. What's on your September bucket list? I'm working on time management this year more because I can attest to the fact that working has the ability to warp time. I'll sit down in the morning at the computer to work or study or whatever. I like to work with music, so I'll put on the playlist and I'll begin and look up to check the time a few minutes later. Only time's passed like lightning, and now it is 3 p.m. I think we have to be conscious not to work too much as well. Don't overwork, and it's important to take time to care for ourselves, especially when we feel busy or tired. It's always worth it to take a moment to look away from the screens and relax. With love, Editor Janu. EditorJanu@gmail.com. That's EditorJanu@gmail.com. Quote of the month, August 2020. They always say time changes things, but you actually have to change them yourself. Andy Warhol. Jane and the Fire by Janu. Part 1. Charles Dickens received active feedback on his novel Great Expectations because he published it chapter by chapter in a magazine. I think that is quite frankly genius. This way, he got a varied, honest feedback about his writing. Now, this isn't a novel, but it is a story that I want feedback on, so we're going to try out his idea. I want honest feedback, readers. This is a story I've just started about a girl who's struggling with a big change, moving to a new home. Jane's story takes place in 1958, the fateful year of the Chicago school fire. It's raining too hard to see out the window, so Jane gives up on that and turns back around to her mother, who is stirring pasta sauce on the stove. "Can I please sit on the fire escape, Mama?" she asks, and anticipating the answer, adds quickly, "I won't do anything, I'll just sit there." "No," says Mrs. Joyce curtly, turning her haggard countenance to her daughter. "Jane, you know full well how tired we all are. I told you to watch your cousins. Now I've got to finish dinner so your father can bring it to Uncle Wallace." Jane kicks the ground. "Billy and Billy are asleep." Her mother doesn't answer. Jane feels, not for the first time, a burst of annoyance. 3 weeks in Chicago, 3 weeks, and the only things she's seen are the church, her school, and the inside of her own home. She's not even been to the fire escape yet because of the endless rain. She doesn't think she likes cities that much. There's too much smoke and too little space. It's hard to believe that only a month ago she was in a large, open farmyard, longing to go to the big city. She goes back to the window and looks at her reflection critically. She's 12, thin and tall, beribboned and freckled, with black lace-up boots. She dislikes the boots. At home, she was allowed to go barefoot all the time. At home. She still doesn't consider this place home. Home is where she learned to milk a cow and squirt milk into the cat's mouth, although most of the time the milk didn't quite reach the cat. This, she looks disdainfully out the window. This place isn't home. Mrs. Joyce is finished with dinner now and hands Jane a covered dish. "Give this to your father, please." Jane takes the dish to her father, who's in his study writing away. Mr. Joyce is a journalist for the Tribune, and he wants to make a good impression on his boss. He listens absent-mindedly as Jane passes on Mrs. Joyce's instructions for the delivery of the pasta dinner to Uncle Wallace, who is a very bad cook. Jane remembers going to his house on their very first night in Chicago and pretending to eat dinner in an attempt to not hurt his feelings. She wanders over to the spare bedroom, occupied at the moment by twin terrors Billy and Billy. They look sweetly innocent at the moment, asleep. Billy, the one on the top bunk of the bed, is dangerously close to the edge of his bunk, so Jane gives him a gentle push. He rolls over, still fast asleep. Jane feels fondness for her young cousins. It is rare that she feels fond of them when they are awake. What happens to Jane? Why are both of her cousins named Billy? Does Jane sneak onto the fire escape? To find out what happens next, give me your feedback. We'll only continue the story next month if you like it.
Spirit Athletics. 2 Feet to Fly. Amateur Heroes by Gutterda. Simple things and people are often forgotten. It's my pleasure to shed some light and inspire few people to healthier life. Vishwanathan Jayaraman, Jagadisan M., Sayuri Dalvi, Raghavendra Satish Peri, Harishankar Krishnaswamy, and Nandita Chakraborty are such heroes. 2 Feet to Fly is a short documentary about the inspiring lives of these 6 amateur runners who found freedom from the depths of their affliction. It celebrates the journey and the unique power that running has given them. It is a testament to the power that running can bring to one's life. The runners from across India who have overcome various issues, health complications, obesity, smoking, blindness, poverty, personal tragedy, and have come out stronger. The film seeks to inspire more people to take up running to experience the sheer joy that life is. 2 Feet to Fly follows 6 runners. Vishwanathan Jayaraman, a runner in his 60s who kicked a smoking addiction and went on to run a marathon a day for a whole year. Jagadisan M., a runner who escaped the confines of a humble background to win the men's open category at the 2014 SCMM. Sayuri Dalvi, a Mumbai-based runner and mother who emerged triumphant over personal turmoil. Raghavendra Satish Peri, a visually impaired runner who undaunted was a sighted runner. Harishankar Krishnaswamy, who embarked on his running journey for weight loss, only to emerge with a complete physical transformation. And Nandita Chakraborty, a Delhi runner bravely battling sarcoidosis, a chronic condition. I don't run to live. I live to run. Jagadisan M., Standard Chartered Mumbai Marathon, Men's Open winner, 2014.
Now for Fine Arts with Spirit. So, first off, we have 2 limericks by Naveen, and the whole section of the limericks is called Poetical Wool Gathering. So here's the first limerick. There once was a small village fair, and all the children flocked there. They would buy a lollipop that stuck to their mouth top and cry, I paid for it, no fair. Oh, nice one. Okay, and there's another one. There was once a yellow banana who claimed to be from Atlanta. On the banana was a sticker that was the topic of a bicker because that sticker read Montana. So both very nice limericks by Naveen. And anyone who's tried to write a limerick before would know that they're super difficult to write, although they sound very simple. So hopefully these limericks inspire our amateur poets out there to give it a try, because it can be done. And next we have an experiment in Adobe digital art by me, Janu. And it's kind of a lake scene. There's some sun breaking through the clouds, a very dull, very muted colors, and there's sort of a slope and then a lake and a mountain range in the background. So yep, it's an experiment in Adobe. And then there are 2 digital images. One is called There is One Purple Flower, photo by Cam. Thank you, Cam. And it's a lake scene with a very cloudy sky, very poofy, verdant trees. And there's another big bush in the center of the picture, and it's covered in little streams of pink flowers, but apparently there's one purple one, and I'm looking for it now. I can't find it, but perhaps it is there. So thank you, Cam, for that great picture. Then we have A Busy Day, photo by Puri. And it's a sort of a black, like a very dark background. And it's zoomed in on one, like, bunch of white flowers. And there's a bee, a bumblebee, that's landed on this flower looking for honey or nectar. So Puri has managed to get the bee in that moment. So its wings are frozen still. Very, very cool image. So thank you, Puri, for that. Send us your fine art of any kind for it to be in print in a future edition of Spirit, whether that be composition or poetry or painting or anything. We'd love to have it. So send us all of your inquiries to editorjanu@gmail.com. That's editorjanu@gmail.com.
Next up, we have The Funny by Kuchi. And there's the logo of The Funny here, and it says, "Good jokes only." And it has three frogs, one's covering its eyes, one's covering its ears, and one's covering its mouth. Alright, so today we have an episode, if you will, of Pogwi the Pickled Pear and Friends. And this is a Spirit original. So, before Pogwi had friends, and then the story starts. So the first panel has a orange wearing glasses pointing at a pear, and the pear has like little dots on it, and then the orange says, "Ha ha, there goes Pogwi, the only pear that is pickled." And then Pogwi's angry and a little bit upset, and he crosses his arms and goes, "It's not all that bad." Then the orange starts laughing and holds his stomach and laughs at Pogwi. And then in the side, the banana, in the next panel, the banana rushes in. And it yells, "Run everyone, the human boy is coming to get a snack." And then all the fruits, like the banana and the orange, start running away and they yell and run. But Pogwi isn't fast enough, and a giant arm comes out of nowhere and grabs a pear. And then Pogwi screams in fear. The next panel shows the boy. And the boy has a round nose and is chubby and has a small curl of hair and says, "Mama, this pear smells different." Then in the corner, his mother says, "Yes, Billy, I pickled it earlier." And then the boy puts down the pear and says, "Oh, I'll not eat it raw then, because it's the pear's pickled, so who's going to eat a pickled pear? Like, who even does pickled pears, right?" So he drops Pogwi back on the fruit counter. And then the orange and the banana look at Pogwi like, "Oh, he escaped from the boy. He escaped from the human boy." And then Pogwi laughs in the last panel, and it zooms into his face, and he says, "Being pickled has its perks," and gives a broad smile. And that's how the cartoon ends.
So here is this month's edition of Cooking Kali, innovative recipes and also your favorite classics. So the title is, "The school year is starting and you asked for a hassle-free dessert, so we provided that along with the side of the longest title ever, Recipe by Jana." And this month we're doing baklava. Baklava is an easy dessert to make and is difficult to get wrong in my experience. Granted, I do not have much, but if I can do it, so can you. Start by letting the phyllo dough thaw. So the ingredients you need are one box of phyllo dough, about 1 cup melted butter, 1 pound of walnuts, 3 tablespoons of sugar, and a half a cup of cinnamon. Wait, no, and a half a cup. No, 3 tablespoons of sugar plus half a cup of sugar. Then you need some cinnamon, a cup of honey, and lemon juice. So start by letting the phyllo dough thaw. Put the walnuts, the 3 tablespoons of sugar, and a teaspoon or two of cinnamon in the blender and process until fine. To prepare the syrup, let the honey, half cup sugar, and lemon juice boil and stir occasionally. Once the consistency is pleasant, it should be rather liquidy, let it cool. Spread 10 sheets of phyllo dough on the bottom of a baking pan, spreading the melted butter on top of each sheet. So you put the 10 sheets of dough on the bottom of the pan, and take the melted butter, just paint it on top if you have one of those baking brushes. Otherwise, you can just use a spoon. Sprinkle a thick layer of the crushed walnuts on top. Now, then top the walnuts with 5 more sheets of phyllo, and between each sheet of phyllo, spread a layer of butter on. Top the phyla with walnut and repeat this process until you either run out of resources or you tire. Ensure that the top layer is phyla, though. So then you bake for 20 minutes or until it's golden brown. Slice once when cooled and add the honey copiously. The honey syrup should thoroughly soak the all through the layers and should get to the bottom. So keep painting on that honey syrup on the top. Cool in the fridge overnight and serve with chocolate syrup, caramel sauce, or as is. It's hard to beat. Okay, next we have letters to the editor. Send yours to editorjanu@gmail.com. That's editorjanu@gmail.com. So first we have, Dear Editor, superb work, keep going. From Money Murray. Next, thank you, Money Murray, for that awesome little note. Very encouraging. So next we have, Dear Editor, the July edition comes with the spices ginger and turmeric. I love the artwork and the thunderstorm picture, which has a deeper meaning, to be with nature. From CLD. The third one, so that's a beautiful letter from CLD, thank you. Third, we have, Janu, thank you for the excellent edition. The first page itself is very pleasant. I'd like to go for a walk. Editor stories are nice and always lively. The review of Alice in Wonderland tempts us to go through the book. The Wellness Central gives useful tips. Dinner options coming next should be quite interesting. From BJ. So thank you, BJ. Very nice of you. And I sure hope that you like the dinner options that we're going to share next. Or soon, rather. Next we have, Dear Editor, another wonderful edition. Signature style was a great article since most people feel the same way choosing what to wear each day. The locker story gave me a glimpse of what the high school kids go through. Or is that just you? And that's from Antoine. So thank you to Antoine, BJ, CLD, and Money Mori. It's always awesome to get these letters from our readers. Okay, now it is time for Fruit of the Month. So I'll hand that over to Naveen.
Now we have the Fruit of the Month. Woohoo! So this article is Why You Should Be Eating More Blueberries. And this is by Janu. I haven't written about blueberries in this column yet. I know, I was surprised too, but there you have it. Going on year 5 of this magazine, and I'm still surprised. But I digress. Blueberries have become one of my favorite fruits lately. My parents sometimes claim that I have an aversion to all healthy food, so let this be a testament to the fact that I genuinely like blueberries, and they are so healthy for you. Want proof? Blueberries are one of the most nutrient-rich berries out there. They are packed with fiber, vitamin C, vitamin K, and manganese. One cup of blueberries is only 84 calories, but contains 15 grams of carbs. What more could you ask of a fruit? Antioxidants are substances in your body that protect you from free radicals, which are unstable molecules that damage cells and essentially speed up aging. Blueberries contain a lot of antioxidants. Awesome, no? Blueberries are good for the heart because they prevent the oxidation of bad cholesterol, which can lead to heart disease. More and more studies are suggesting that blueberries can reduce inflammation, have anti-diabetic effects, fight infection, and improve memory, although more research is needed. Are you impressed? I know I am. How do you incorporate blueberries into your diet? Share your best recipes with us via email at editorjanu. editorjanu@gmail.com. That's editorjanu@gmail.com to have them published. Alright, so the next article is Wellness Central. The last edition of the Superfood series, Dinner, by Janu. We all know that some foods are healthier choices than others, but the question is, which ones? We've already breakfast options and lunch options, which leaves one of my favorite meals of each day, dinner. You are what you eat, and I'd rather be kale than a Swedish cream in the long run, smiley face. Beets. I personally am not a huge fan of the humble beet, but personal opinions aside, beets are impressively healthy. Put away the processed carbs and consider roasted beets for your next meal. Beets are packed with carbs, iron, vitamin C, and calcium. Olive oil. Substitute a meal with this source of fat for your next takeout dinner. Olive oil contains antioxidants and may reduce risk of heart disease. Toss veggies, a bit of salt and pepper, and olive oil in a pan, and you've got a simple, quick side dish. Sweet potato. The sweet potato is a surprisingly versatile. The sweet potato is a surprisingly versatile tuber, and bonus, is packed with carotenoids. These natural pigments, the bright orange color of sweet potatoes and carrots, are antioxidants and prevent some types of cancer. They're sweet, but may actually help control blood sugar for those with type 2 diabetes. Have any questions, comments, suggestions? We always love to hear from you. Now we have Ask Clever Collie. Send your questions to editorjanu@gmail.com. Dear Clever Collie, it's a known fact that sleep relaxes us and helps us wake up feeling fresh. However, when I wake up on some mornings, I feel a bit stiff and sore in my fingers, and I need to exercise them a bit. I need to exercise a bit to make them normal. Is this ordinary or is it due to aging? Sincerely, Thoughtful Berry. Dear Thoughtful Berry, soreness and stiffness after sleep is common. Here is one explanation. According to Dr. George Gierges, during the day you move around, which keeps fluid secreted by tissues surrounding your bones. At night, though, the lack of movement can cause stiffness. Other reasons could be sleeping on a flat surface, such as the floor, or a vitamin D deficiency. Smiley face. Nothing to worry about. Clever Collie. Dear Clever Collie, I read in a magazine that red flags to a bull are meaningless because bulls are colorblind. Is that true? I can't believe it. Sincerely, Surprise Stanley. Dear Stanley, it is true. Bulls sense the movement, not the color. Red was used originally to mask bloodstains in the terrible sport of bullfighting. Sad face. Clever Collie. Now we have Jot Thoughts Reviews, critique on literature and more. The Moral of Stranger Things Season 1. Review by Janu. There's a picture here from RollingStone.com, and it has the three main characters of Stranger Things Season 1, or three of the main characters, and their names are Mike, Dustin, and Lucas, and all three of them are looking glum. And this is actually from a funeral for one of their friends. So, a few years back, everyone was talking about Stranger Things, a Netflix show, all the time. They insisted that it was the single greatest thing to grace Netflix since The Office. I am no television fan, however. I say, bring me the classic movies. And so I ignored Stranger Things. This summer, however, a teacher of Naveen recommended the series, and Naveen, being a devoted pupil, took it upon himself to insist on watching the show. Late to the party, I know, but what else is new? Here's my description of the first season, and the only season I'll watch, in one word. Interesting. The cast is great, the storyline engaging, and the plot imagined, but it isn't absolutely riveting. Why didn't I stop watching the show then, you ask? The story is engaging enough to make you wonder what happens next. I didn't appreciate every scene. Some seem superfluous. But the basic story is, again, interesting. It's sort of like a movie you watch and like, but never watch again. Would I recommend anyway? Yes, smiley face. Rating, 3 stars.
Dodging the Dentist, a short story by Janu. Polly sat on the front porch, eyes fixed on the end of the lane. Beside her sat Nikki, her younger brother, who was occupying himself by dribbling popsicle juice into her socks. Polly smacked his hand. "Stop that," she snapped. Nikki gave her a reproachful look. "My socks are already squishy, and I thought you'd like it if yours are too." Polly ignored this. "What are you looking for, Polly?" "Our cousins are coming for the family reunion," she said, frowning, "but they seem to be late." Nikki looked interested. Even Paul and Dolph? Yes, said Polly. She pulled off her right sock and squeezed it. Popsicle juice dribbled out. Actually, Paul and Dolph today and the others tomorrow. A dust cloud appeared on the horizon. The children leapt to their feet and hurried to the gate at the end of the yard. Nikki's shoes squawked with every step. A navy Toyota minivan stopped at the drive, and family poured out from both the car and the house. A scene of joyful greetings followed. The adults cooed over the children, and everyone was hustled indoors to wash up and have a late breakfast. 2 hours later, the children were finally allowed to play in the yard. The cousins were delighted to see the house again, and Polly and Nikki showed them around like real estate agents, pointing out the new additions. Dolph was the older of the two cousins, and in fact was the same age as Polly. Dolph was short for Dolphin. Dolph went by her nickname alone, and her pride and passion was swimming. Her real name, Florence, was not to be mentioned. Paul was round and polite and good with numbers. He was a year older than Nikki, and the four children got on quite well. They had hardly reached the large open field at the back, however, when the parents arrived there as well. Polly turned to them, frowning. Oblivious to this clear indication that they were not wanted, they were not welcome, the parents chattered happily and took in the sights of the field. It was picturesque, covered in long grass and wildflowers, and dotted with cows in the distance. "Excuse me," said Paul demurely, "but is something the matter?" His aunt said quickly, "Oh, nothing at all. It's just that the dentist's card came and we wanted to tell you, children, but it seemed rude to call you all in just after you'd gone out." The children stared, mouths dropping open in horror, as she held up a pink and violet postcard with the words, "A small reminder," scrawled in cursive. The aesthetic was hideous, but they weren't worried about that. A dentist appointment! So that's why the cousins had come a day early. The children were all well aware that the family dentist offered a discount if the ordinary cleaning appointments were booked for four at once. "Yes," said Polly's mother vaguely, "so we'll go this afternoon and be happy and ready for the family reunion tomorrow." The children looked at each other, and for once they were all in total agreement. Happy and ready did not begin to describe what they would feel after a dentist appointment. The only course left was simply to run away. They waited until the parents were well out of sight to discuss their plans. The dentist was an austere-looking gentleman. He began mornings with whey protein shakes and dressed in expensive neutrals. His only facial expressions were frowns of varying degrees. "Yes," said Dolph firmly, "we must run away." Nikki, the smallest, was chosen to sneak into the window to collect food, and he returned in a minute with the pie his mother had just baked and left on the dining table to cool. His fellow conspirators were furious. This would naturally ensure that, shortly, a search party would be deployed to find and recover the pie. "There's no time," said Polly, exasperated. "We'll have to go now." "Where do we go?" asked Dolph. They all considered. "How about Grandma's?" asked Nikki. "She always bakes on Monday as well, so we'll have something to eat." This was settled upon. Grandma lived very close by, and a short walk later, Paul, the favorite, was knocking on the door and explaining the predicament to Grandma. "Fugitives, eh?" asked Grandma, smiling. "Well, I will grant you asylum. Come on in and have some cookies." They stuffed themselves peacefully and sat around the kitchen table chattering to Grandma as she pulled loaves out of the oven until, all of a sudden, a loud and irritated knock sounded on the door. The children looked at each other and, as a body, disappeared under the table. Grandma opened the door. "Hello, Mother," said Polly's father. "Are the children here with our pie?" "Don't give us away, Grandma," cried Nikki loudly. A collective groan sounded from under the table. The father laughed. "Well, you can stay where you are, Nikki. We'll be back from our appointment soon. We were going to drop you kids off anyway." Four delighted children. Thank you very much for listening to this edition of Spirit, and we are so happy to have you as listeners. And we are looking forward to seeing you again next time. Bye!